back to Matt Flynn, director on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Before we go to the lines, I'm going to go to Luke. Luke has an important weather update. Luke.
Yeah, Matt. We got a pretty nasty storm cell kind of developing here in Madison. Our studios on the west side just got hit kind of right before and during that commercial break. I believe there was hail. It's kind of hard to tell right now. It's pretty dark outside still this morning because of the cloud coverage from the storm. But if you're heading out to work this morning or going about your daily commute, just be aware there is some storms coming across the listening area that might include hail. So just be aware, take some caution on the roads this morning and drive safe.
Good info. Thanks a lot, Luke. Good info. We'll go into the lines. I'm going to take you in order of your call. Start with Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Oh, just one last thought on all the 9/11 stuff this weekend. A friend and I were talking about it yesterday, and I said, you know, I can't stand former President Bush in any capacity, but at least he referenced domestic violence in his speech. And he said, well, you know, I think everybody should have, all of the former presidents. And I said, yeah, to me, that would have been the worst thing possible, because he was trying to talk to maybe the last vestiges of Republicans that still will listen to anything rational. And I think that if any of the Democratic former presidents would have spoke to this, that group would have looked at it as, well, you're preaching to us, you know, but it needed to be said what he said, in my opinion. Should have been said a long time ago, but it was interesting that he did, and I think it was something that would really needed to be said.
Thanks for calling in, Dick. Really appreciate it. Lines are filling up. Appreciate that. Next, we're going to go to Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Bill of Oconomowoc, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Matt. Listening to the news about how now somebody's, again, challenging our election results and wasting taxpayers' time, from now on, we've got to demand a cost. Who's going to pick up the cost for all of this stuff? But moving forward and listening to how, you know, the rant and rave between the two parties, one thing we can say right now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we stand for fact. And we have to start challenging the right to, if they have all these claims, prove it. If they can't prove it, you're going to get a bill for all your investigations. They have no proof. They have nothing. They're actually becoming the part of our culture that is non-educated. That's the biggest part of our culture, no education. That's their problem. And I think it's got to be called out. Your station allows anybody with any views to talk immediately. Try doing that with right-wing talk. I can speak from big experience going back years and years and years. If they got something they want you to say, you'll get on the air. If you oppose them, they've got no time for you. So thanks again. Let's have a great week and keep moving forward.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Excellent comments as always. And it's true, our radio station, all points of view are welcome. I don't necessarily agree with all points of view, but all points of view get talked about and then we respond. And, you know, you raise an important point about assigning a cost to some of these lies. And, you know, that was already done in an odd way by the Republicans, by Walker. And that's an example. And here's what it is. In the old days, you could pay for a recall, for a recount. And remember that the Green candidate in 2016 demanded a recount, and she barely got any votes at all. But the idea was to benefit the Democrats, thankfully, to see if there was some fraud. It turned out that the recount upheld the results and that Trump had beaten Hillary in Wisconsin. Well, the Republicans, in retaliation, put in a bill. It says you can't even demand a recount, even if you're willing to pay for it, unless it's a very, very small margin, like I think 1%. And if you're outside of that, you can't even ask for a recount. And then if it's under that, you can ask for a recount, but you got to pay for it. There's a cost. So I think that using that as an analogy, using that as a precedent, we could absolutely say that these attacks, it's very, very similar to demanding recounts, can't be done unless there's a certain margin, a very small margin of loss. Now, in this case, 20,000 votes by Biden probably would fall in that small margin, but then they have to pay for it. So why are we paying for Gableman and the guerrillas? Why are we paying for the muscle and the guerrillas? $687,000. What's that, chump change? What's that, chopped liver? $687,000. That's a lot of money. How much did you guys pay in taxes last year? State, I mean. $687,000? I doubt it. How about your whole life? Did you pay $687,000? Probably not. Probably not. Probably not. So why should this be a piggy bank? The cost should be there. They coin of the realm. They should pay in advance, coin of the realm. But you're right. What's good about our radio station, I think, and about the Democrats, we will listen to all arguments and then we'll refute them, but we don't try to put the lid on things. And number two, there's got to be a cost assigned and not use taxpayer money as a piggy bank to attack elections. Thanks for calling in, Bill. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Mark?
Bill just hit one of the points, you know, that the devil's advocates radio station here picks up all callers. We're willing to listen to all points of view, whereas if we tried calling like Clan O'Donnell or Icky Vicky's show, that we would not even get on the air. That which is in direct contradiction to, you know, the new Republican bills of you know, that media companies have to allow, not, you know, whatever views, you know, people want to spout on that particular media platform, and the media platforms can't have rules rules for what they allow or not. I mean, that I see the Governor Abbott down in Texas signed their bill that parallels what the Wisconsin Republicans are trying to do, because, you know, some of their people are getting, you know, booted off of Twitter or Facebook, and that. So, I mean, that I can't see that being upheld constitutionally, but who knows with this Supreme Court, you know, what they will actually do. I mean, that because they're not really following the rules.
You're raising a good point, and there's an historical precedent. There was a thing in the up to the 80s called the Equal Time Doctrine from the FCC, and that's for over-the-air broadcasts. And so if you had a candidate on or a point of view, you had an equal time to somebody the opposite point of view. And what that would have meant, you never would have had a Rush Limbaugh. Because Rush Limbaugh would have been on for 3 hours, and then they'd have to put another guy on for 3 hours and say, Rush is a lying sack, here's what he lied about, and all that. Well, the FCC changed that rule, got rid of it back in the 1980s, and that's why you get, frankly, hate radio, talk radio. But now they're crying in their beer because, well, you know, they put Trump off of Facebook and Twitter because he lied about this and that. They're also keeping people off of Facebook and Twitter who lie about COVID, you know, say that ivermectin is a, you know, that's an anti-worming thing for 2,000-pound horses and cows is good for COVID, or hydroxychloroquine, or you inject bleach into your veins. They're not going to put that on because guys die. People die. They just die. So this is a very fraught area. If we reinstate the equal time doctrine, you're going to have radio stations will go an hour of Rush Limbaugh, an hour of Mike Crudy, you know, and frankly, that wouldn't be bad, but they're not going to go back to that as a political reality. On the other hand, I think that you've got to keep off of things like Facebook and Twitter, which have effective monopolies, things that, I mean, you don't want ISIS going on there saying, let's behead people in Congress. You do not want people going on there and saying, take ivermectin and you'll be cured of COVID. I mean, you really don't, because people will do it and then they'll die. So very good point with some good historical antecedents. Very good point with some historical antecedents. Okay, I want to hit a topic which will probably dear to Luke's heart. We want Luke to weigh in on this. It's the Packer game that happened yesterday. And I got to say something, you know, I've had Packer season tickets since 1988, four of them, okay? So big fan. However, that performance, and I'm not talking about just one game. I get it. This happens. But with Aaron Rodgers all through the spring, not showing up for various practices and all that. And it's a leadership signal. He doesn't like the front office. He doesn't like Murphy. He doesn't like Gutekunst. Claims he likes LaFleur. Hey, Jack, you're making what is he making? Like $190 million. Hey, Jack, I'll tell you what. These are the people that run the organization. So they play the Saints in Jacksonville because the Saints couldn't play in their, you know, home stadium. Rodgers gets 133 yards, 15 for 28, two interceptions, no touchdowns, taken out in the fourth quarter with most of the fourth quarter to go. And here's my take on it. My take on it is this. There's no better quarterback in the NFL if his heart's in it, if he's not mailing it in, okay? I mean, if he really wants to play. But, you know, you can't have an opera with the most famous opera singer in the world if her heart isn't in it, because it spreads to the whole cast. And here, Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback's always the leader. Some other people boycotted the practices, too. They come back in. People said, oh, a lot of them didn't play that well. Okay, blah, blah, blah. The point is, you need leadership. You know, Vince Lombardi in the 60s didn't necessarily have the best talent in the NFL. He's pretty good, don't get me wrong. He was Vince Lombardi. Tom Brady, what he does is he calls his linemen and everybody during the week, we're going to win this thing. We're going to win this thing. You know, Rodgers is sort of laid back California drama queen who goes, well, I got inner weasels to bear. Luke, you are rubbing your eyes. You're near a microphone. You have the ability to get in front of the microphone. I like Aaron. Is he going to put his heart into this thing? Is he going to show leadership to these guys?
I don't know. And you're pushing me up against a hard break, Matt. That's kind of mean. We're coming up fast here on a break.
It's an old tactic.
Yeah, so I got to get my point out quickly. I think it's an overreaction to say anything too vast like that. It's the first game of the season. Most of these guys didn't play the preseason games. They wanted to stay healthy, but there's a lot of rust on them after a year of not playing football. I want to see David Bakhtiari will be back week 7, and we've got some definite ground to make up after yesterday's performance, but I think it's an overreaction to say that Rodgers' heart just isn't in it. I think it's more just preseason jitters and getting back in the swing of things, but we'll see. I believe you said they play the Lions this weekend, so I think that'll be a good test of if they can give them a good old shellacking. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you can't sing an opera that you're the best in the world if your heart isn't in it. If the guy is still miffed because they grafted Jordan Love, we got to get on with this stuff. Okay, the lines are alive. Do not hang up. I will get back to the lines immediately after this hard break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.